Welcome in to the Monday edition of the Daily Tap. It is April 30th. We are here live talking to you, the Tappers. Back in the saddle, I am after a fun weekend up in Elkhart Lake for my boy Shay Ken getting married. It was a wonderful weekend, had a lot of fun. You may notice the voice is a little raspy, but I feel like this is now my everyday voice. Like for whatever reason, I just keep like having my voice strain, and it's like a combination of allergies and talking too much and maybe singing Shania Twain's I Feel Like a Woman a little too loud. Everything, you know, it's just there. So I'll get a text from Murph tonight or today. It's going to be like, are you a little raspy? Were you okay? So if I do sound a little raspy, bear with me. I'll be all right. We are going to chat about the Milwaukee Brewers struggling against the Chicago Cubs this weekend. Look at Mike Budenholzer for the Milwaukee Bucks job, and also coming to the reality that Dez Bryant will not be a Packer. So those are all our topics. But before we start, let's remind the people that you can follow us, StoneTapWI, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, as well as subscribe to us on iTunes, on Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud, whatever you prefer. Subscribe somewhere. Be great to see that. And also visit us, StoneTapWI. It is a website. All right. So we'll start with the Brewers getting swept by the Chicago Cubs. They got swept in pretty, I would say, embarrassing fashion for the offense. They scored 9 total runs. They get shut out yesterday 2-0. One of the runs was from a Tyler Chatwood single, who was a pitcher for the Chicago Cubs. Cubs starters were absolutely dominant against the Brewers. And you ask that question, you know, are the Cubs in the Brewers' head after, you know, all the Twitter smack talk that the social media account has done, and just the overall sort of, they know the Cubs are the best, and they have to beat the best to be the best. And I don't know. I don't know really what's going on here. I don't know why they've looked like a different team against the Cubs. It's frustrating as all hell. I mean, you watch this team against Cincinnati, against Miami, against Kansas City, and it's like they're this carefree bunch who's hitting the baseball, who's just dominating, and it seems like even against St. Louis, they don't look like this. They tighten up. I think they get nervous because they think they have to come up with a big hit all the time. And Travis Shaw, who's kind of become, I would say, the leader of the clubhouse in a way, you know, had the comment like, we are a home run hitting team, but we cannot just keep relying on home runs. Like that's not going to win us ball games. And Shaw knows this. I think Ryan Braun said something similar on Friday night. Like, it's good that these guys know this, but at the same time, they have to start putting action to plan. And it doesn't help when you go back. You're going to go to Cincinnati this week. And granted, that's been a house of horrors for the Milwaukee Brewers in the past few years. But they're going to have opportunities to just mash the shit out of the ball with bad Reds pitching, and the ballpark is a literal bandbox. There's a lot at work here. There's a lot at play. I think the Cubs pitching staff is better than anything the Brewers have seen in the last few weeks, and I think that kind of screwed with their head a little bit. I think just the fact that some of the easier pitches they saw from the Miami, Kansas City, Cincinnati pitchers weren't there, and they didn't adjust enough time. I'm not using that as an excuse for the offense. And also, you know, Domingo Santana made a comment about the wind, which I didn't think was the greatest look, but let's be real. I mean, if the wind blows out, Yelich has a grand slam on Friday, and at least the Brewers salvage a game out of the mix. And if, you know, there were a few, like, just one play here and there, and it could have happened. The Brewers, still though, no excuse for getting shut out 3 out of the 4 games. It was really an embarrassing effort for Milwaukee. And I know Shaw came out with the Aaron Rodgers like quote of CHILL instead of, because he said relax is already taken. I get that. I think the fans are really hypersensitive about the Cubs. And we talked last year a lot on this podcast about how, you know, people would act like the Cubs were so much more superior than the Brewers and that the Brewers could never compete with the Cubs and they could never do things like that. And it's disappointing, but literally that is exactly what fucking is happening in this first month of the year. So it's not really helping any of those fans' concerns who think, oh, the Brewers can't get this done against the Cubs, that, oh, this is here we go again. This is just going to be the same old shit over and over again. So definitely a frustrating series. You know, baseball is one of those sports where you can win 8 games and then lose 4 right off the bat. So the Brewers basically split their winning streak in half. It sucks. It really does. It really sucks that the Brewers couldn't at least get a couple games this weekend. I mean, I think anyone would have been fine with the split. Now they go to Cincinnati, will not have a winning road trip, even if they sweep the Reds. So it'll be a disappointing road trip, really, no matter what happens here in Cincinnati. But the Brewers will try to emulate what they did a few weeks ago at Miller Park. So to move to the Milwaukee Bucks, you know, I don't necessarily have a ton of thoughts on the Game 7. I thought I may watch a little more than I did or DVR it, and I didn't even DVR the game, and I forgot about it while there was so much going on Saturday, and then as the game sort of progressed, I was like, there's really no need for me to DVR this. There's no need for me to watch Jason Terry play 20 minutes, watch Joe Prunty, you know, kind of shit his pants a little bit from what it sounds like. And I just sort of let it go. I just said, you know what? It's okay. I got a tweet from our guy Eric who's like, I'm pissed that Snow Tap actually didn't have to watch this game, which it says all you need to know about how this thing went for the Bucks. So we should learn today that Joe Prunty has been relieved of his duties, that all the coaching staff is out as well. I think that is a matter of time that's going to happen. I don't think Prunty's going to last past the beginning of the week. So Tim Bonnetemps of the Washington Post, he's been getting a lot of mentions recently on this podcast, but Tim wrote a great article basically laying out why Mike Budenholzer is the right guy for the job. Budenholzer mutually agreed to part ways with Atlanta last week. He took meetings with Phoenix, turned down their job, also took a meeting with New York over the weekend, but it doesn't seem like that's where Budenholzer wants to go. I mean, as Bonnetemps pointed out, the Hawks started their rebuild. They released Budenholzer of control a year prior. Budenholzer didn't really agree to this whole let's rebuild the Hawks roster. So Budenholzer would go to Milwaukee, and he would have this great roster of Giannis Antetokounmpo, Chris Middleton, maybe Jabari Parker, Eric Bledsoe. I mean, he'd have guys that he could play with that would probably be better than anything he had with the Hawks, and he won 60 games with the Hawks. So it is a very safe choice, and Bonta's pointed that out. He's like, it is the obvious choice, but sometimes the obvious choice is the right one, and they shouldn't get cute. And that is the really concern, that the Bucks have floundered things in the past, like, and they can't. Like, they legitimately cannot fuck this up. If the Bucks screw this up, the franchise is a complete clusterfuck for the next 20 years. And so, hopefully, they understand that Bonnetemps is the right guy for the job. They somewhat listen to the media, maybe a little too much, and they, you know, when Kidd got fired, the whole reason Kidd got fired is because the media started piling on and started realizing all the dumb shit he was doing, and that's when they fired Kidd. So hopefully this idea of having the social media support, you know, having Bonnetemps write about Budenholzer, and I'm sure other, you know, the fans, I think, have also been pushing Budenholzer, that is going to be the right guy for the job. We'll see if it happens. I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, you have to take any coaching search with sort of a grain of salt, just because they're going to look at other guys. They're going to interview other guys. I'm sure we're going to freak out about it. I'm sure we're going to kind of lose our shit a little bit about, oh my God, I can't believe they're interviewing. Hopefully it's not like Vinny Del Negro, but like, I can't believe they're interviewing Vinny Del Negro. That would be a just complete panic. Now, I don't think that the Bucks are that dumb, but you never know. You have to take everything with a grain of salt until you know that he or she is the guy. All right, so finishing up with the Packers. Packers had, I thought, a great draft. I just wrote about it, Stone Tap WI. It's a website. But the realization, it became clear, and I know Murph touched on it just slightly, maybe a sentence or two, on Sunday's podcast, which he did a great job with. Thank him for that. But the Packers aren't bringing Dez Bryant in. I think the Dez Bryant dream is dead. The hashtag sign Dez movement has ran its course, and, you know, maybe I'm wrong, but I just reality wise, I mean, the Packers have three wide receivers now that they drafted: St. Brown, Moore, and Valdez-Scantling. And so it doesn't necessarily seem like they would go after a veteran receiver, especially when you also have a lot of young guys like D'Angelo Yancey, Trevor Davis, a few others who are, so you have this swath of wide receivers. There's really no room to add Dez Bryant. I get the idea that they may want some veteran help on the outside, but if that's the case, they're going to have to look at this roster and say, how many wide receivers are we A, keeping? How many are we knocking to practice squad? And what exactly, how can we pay for this? And so I could see maybe another veteran receiver coming in if the Packers feel like the preseason doesn't go well with having young guys running routes and things like that. I mean, Geronimo Allison right now is the X wide receiver for this team. Now, obviously, these young guys are gonna pressure him, and they're going to do their best. We'll see what happens. I don't know. I mean, it's a very interesting situation. The Packers basically did exactly what they did with the running backs last year, and I mentioned this, but it's so this seems to be a blueprint. It seems like they're hoping one or two of these guys pans out, and they're a starter middle way through the year. I mean, Allison probably starts out as your starting wide receiver with Davante Adams and Randall Cobb, but at the end of the day, I mean, by week five, week six, we could see a guy like Equanimeous St. Brown take over. Could see Jamal Moore take over. I mean, there are the opportunities are endless. So just because the opening day roster looks like something doesn't mean that it's going to end that way. I think people have to understand that. I know there's going to be concerns with people that the Packers didn't really pick up an edge rusher. This was not a good edge rusher draft. They said that. I mean, if you listen to Mel Kiper and you listen to the experts, this was not a draft for edge rushers. So the Packers not picking one up, I think, is just fine. They do have Vince Beagle. They're expecting big, big things from Beagle, and I think they think Beagle can do this, and Penn's done more with less with his edge rusher, so I'm not necessarily concerned about that. And I think the fact they didn't get a tight end kind of sucks, but that's just a nitpick. I mean, they have Lance Kendricks, they have Jimmy Graham, they have guys, so it's not like they're low on tight ends. It's just if they get one for the future, it would have been nice to have a player like that. They currently do not have a kind of a third string tight end, but that's simply a nitpick at the draft and things like that. But yeah, I don't think the Dez Bryant thing's happening. I really wanted it to happen, but the wide receiver room's already really crowded. If you added a veteran who's an absolutely must not cut, then it's like, well, okay, then you basically have to choose. You just have to choose two or three guys and maybe knock one or two to the practice squad, and then that's about it. I mean, the receiver competition is going to be fierce all summer, so that will definitely be a headline to look forward to when training camp does roll around. But that about does it for us, guys. We will talk to you tomorrow. We'll check in about the NBA playoffs. We'll be through the first set of games for each team as Boston and Philly get going tonight. Or actually, we won't be, because that'll be Cleveland-Toronto will be started on Tuesday. But still, we'll talk about the NBA playoffs. We'll also look at what the Brewers did against Cincinnati. Can the offense come back to life? And anything else that does pop up on Monday. So Stonetap WI is where you can find us all. We will talk to you tomorrow. All right, guys. Take care. Have a good one. Bye.